Thank you.
So, Council Member Henderson, what I'm hearing your question is the disconnect between what we say our limits are and what you hear the governor of the state saying he would support. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. City Clerk Strickler, are you prepared to answer that question, or would you prefer that Attorney Bacalar answer the question?
So I think that Libby would be able to speak more eloquently on that than I'm.
So I can speak on that a little bit. I think what's going on here is that, the governor is sort of, I think, purporting to delegate what I think is a state function to certain localities. And I understand that there's reasons to do that because every locality is a little bit different. He if we run into legal trouble, the state of Alaska and the attorney general's office isn't going to come and defend us. I mean, this is, it's easy for them to say that, but they don't have the liability concerns to worry about. So, what they believe is allowed and what many in the Alaska Municipal believe is allowed, there's a disconnect there. And really, the only person, the only entity, the only branch of government that can ultimately decide what is or is not allowed is a court. And we're not in front of a court because we're in, again, we're, in a pandemic. Nobody's sued anybody over any of these mandates yet. The message from the state is that the localities can do whatever it is they want to do. But there's no real assurance from the state that they're going to certainly defend or indemnify or help us out at all if, in fact, a judge decides that we have gone over our out over our skis here. So it's simply a liability issue. The state is saying we should just do whatever we need to do. And I'm just saying there's a liability in that. I'm not here to tell the council what to do or what not to do. I'm here to identify liability where I see it. And I see liability in taking, actions that are outside the scope of our adopted powers and authority to do. But again, that's for a judge to decide in the end whether that authority has been exceeded or not. I can't say that definitively. The governor can't say that definitively. But the tension that you're seeing there is sort of a hot potato thing, where I think the state doesn't necessarily want to take decisive action on some of this stuff, and so in some ways, I think they're punting to the locals. And so when you hear the state saying, "Well, we'll support whatever these local governments want to do," that is all well and good, but again, when you get in front of a court or in a liability in a context of a civil liability, for example, we're going to be out on our own there. So, that's just, and again, that may not matter. Maybe that doesn't matter at all. Maybe we just, the council orders whatever it wants to order, and that's fine. And the chips fall where they may. I'm just saying again, it is malpractice for me to not identify liabilities for my clients where I see them, regardless of what the governor says or doesn't say. So that's sort of hopefully that answers your question, Council Member Henderson.
It does. Thank you so much, and shame on the governor for offering that and not being willing to back us up like that. Shame, shame, shame. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Attorney Bacalar. Do any other council members have questions on the adoption of Ordinance 20-36? City Clerk Strickler, I think it's probably time for us to roll call vote this ordinance. Do you have appropriate enough audio to facilitate the roll call vote?
Councilmember Springer.
Yes.
Councilmember Henderson.
Yes, sorry.
Councilmember McCormick.
Yes.
Mayor DeWitt.
Yes.
Councilmember Barry.
Yep.
Vice Mayor Hanson.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. That brings us to item 10.2 on our agenda this evening. This item passed on the consent agenda. For folks who are listening, I'll remind folks what this was. This was Action Memorandum 20-55, which authorizes the city manager to negotiate and execute a contract with Company A to implement a hauled utilities digitization solution for the city of Bethel. So that passed on the consent agenda. Item 10.3 was pulled from the consent agenda. This is IM 20-19, the city to contribute $200,000 in CARES Act grant funds to Bethel Community Services Foundation to support their service work in and for the community of Bethel as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. This was sponsored by Interim City Manager Williams. And I pulled this because I want to declare a conflict of interest as I'm employed by Bethel Community Services Foundation. And it has previously been determined by the City of Bethel attorney, Bacalar, that I do have a conflict on items related to CARES Act funding. Since I am currently serving as mayor in accordance with Bethel Municipal Code 2.05.150E, the council must, by vote, determine conflicts of interest for the presiding officer. So with that, I'm going to ask a member of council to make a motion to declare that I have a conflict of interest in the consideration of IM 20-19. Is anyone willing to make that motion?
So moved.
Yeah, so moved.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. And I heard a second from Council Member Springer. Who are going to vote in favor of declaring the conflict of interest, please vote by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, aye. Please say nay. Great. With this, I'm going to turn this item over to Vice Mayor Hansen, and I will be muted during this discussion.
All right. So, Lori, do we have Acting City Manager Williams on the line somewhere?
Yes, you do.
Oh, okay, great. Pete, do you think you could provide a brief summary to listeners about what this information memorandum is about?
Sure. I'm going to start with the summary statement on the second paragraph. The Bethel Community Services Foundation. Excuse me. It currently works with other nonprofit organizations in Bethel to provide essential services to the community, including food distribution to needy members of the council to the community. BCSF has expressed a need for a refrigerated container, a vehicle to support safe food delivery to residences. The city provides BCSF with $200,000 in CARES Act funds to assist the people due to the public health emergency in respect to the COVID-19. BCSF plans to use the money to purchase and ship to Bethel a refrigerated container, a vehicle to transport food and other supplies and other essential program purchases. The city of Bethel must spend down the remaining balance of the CARES Act funding by December 30th, 2020. Mid-November 2020, the city documented $4,757,170 in CARES Act spending and has approximately $1,385,000 encumbered. And in my manager's report, there's also a budget here that we worked up for the remaining balance of the funds.
All right. Thank you, Interim City Manager Williams. Do any council members have any questions on this information memorandum?
Vice Mayor Hansen, this is Perry.
Yeah, Perry, go ahead.
Hey, Pete, just a quick question. How much money do we have left over, and are we getting close to spending, being able to spend it all before our deadline coming up next month?
Vice Mayor Hansen, Councilman Barr, we are going to be hard pressed, I think, to spend all this. We've worked up like I said in my manager's report, you can read it there, but total spent and encumbered is $6,140,000.
Uh-oh, did we lose you, Pete?
Here, I'll just do this. Can you guys hear us okay?
Yep.
Roger. Yeah, we can hear you, Lori.
Did we lose Pete, Lori?
You did lose Pete. Our phone services, for some reason, are not working with us. So I'll let Pete talk to you from here.
Hey, council member, everybody hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Anyways, so total spent and encumbered as of November 13th was $6,142,170. That leaves us a balance of $1,982,210.05. So we've encumbered here. We have one major purchase, an emergency generator for the public works building. I expect that's going to be $500,600. That's not in here. We don't have a number for that. We're having a hard time getting a response from the vendors. And I'm not sure if we're also thinking of replacing the generator at KYUK, which not the generators, the generator needs replacing, but the switching gear over there needs to be redone too. So maybe there's another 800,000-900,000 that we can encumber on this, but at the moment we haven't placed any orders. So that's kind of where we stand, Vice Mayor and Councilmember Barr.
Thank you, Pete. I guess I just wanted a snapshot of where we were and if this was going to be a priority for us as a city to spend money on BCSF. Thank you, Pete.
You're welcome.
Do any other council members have any questions on this this specific amount of money and what it's going towards? If not, this is an information memorandum, so there's nothing for us to vote on, and we can move forward to the next item of business with Mayor DeWitt.
Okay, thank you for covering that, Vice Mayor Hansen. Much appreciated. That brings us to item 11 on the agenda, which is reports. And we will start with 11.1, the mayor's report. And I really don't have anything to report, although you might notice if you have your video on that I am not in council chambers. This is our first go at having me being remote and reducing even more the number of in-person people at council meetings. And that brings us to item 11.2, the city manager's report. Interim manager Williams.
Good evening, everybody can hear me? So I got the manager's report. If anybody has some questions on that, I'll take them. And I also have a few things I'd like to read that's happened this week and update. Oh, if there's no questions on the report, I'll get into the Tundra Ridge after I get through these, and it's going to be a little bit of time on that. Anyways, this is about the incentive program. We have been distributing masks to different organizations and businesses that serve the public. We have been delivering 100 to 200 disposable masks and 4 to 6 bottles of hand sanitizers to organizations every 2 to 3 weeks, depending on their demand. There are 8 churches that we've been delivering masks and sanitizer to. There are 2 elderly homes that we've been distributing COVID prevention supplies to on a regular basis. We provide masks and sanitizer to TWC and the Bethel Winter Houses. There are 3 hotels that we've been delivering supplies to, 2 of which work with the quarantine lodging. We have also been distributing supplies to organizations that are open to the public by appointments, such as AVCP, Childcare, Job Center, Kuskokwim University Campus, GCI Pop-Up Shop, Bethel 4-H, Lions Club Food Bank, ONC. We are now distributing masks once a week to two small airlines that serve the region, Grant and UAir. They have been also requested other supplies, such as latex gloves and gallon hand sanitizers and pumps. They've also been able to cover the extra flights into Bethel, so there's a total of 7 people working part-time. Janine's the manager's working full-time, but the others are working part-time. They've been able to manage to cover the other 2 flights that Alaska Airlines added on here recently. The next one here is the round one of the business grants. I don't know if we've been through this, but all payments were completed on round one as of 10/30/20. We embarked on this process in August. The city had about 563 licensed businesses on record. The city heard significant impact from people working in aviation, tourism, food-related businesses, lodging, but many other businesses were also impacted from shutdowns, reduction in customers such as the cab industry and so forth. The economic damage is very real and significant. The business community in Bethel has very much been impacted. And then the round two data, we don't have a full annual, we haven't analyzed that completely yet, but the city has 527 available to award. We had 102 applicants for a total of $1.464,840,000. Of these 102 applicants, 49 of these applicants were new, 48 had received funds in round one and 1 withdrawal and 4 late applications. And we should have an update on round two here in a little while. On the grant management, I sent an email to council members. The $500,000 for the school program, that's still ongoing, and hopefully get all that will be approved for and be done with it next week. The last piece in that was to get the finance department on board so the funds could be moved around. We have a vehicle that's en route, or will be en route this spring, and $125,000 for the extra officer at the school will be approved. So they're all active, we're good, and I expect to hear more about that by the next manager's report. So let's see what else I got here. Okay, so I guess that brings me to the Thunder Ridge Road. Yeah, unless anybody's got any questions before I dig into that. Everybody's good? So, there's been a lot of news, a lot of KYUK, I guess the Anchorage Daily News had an article, which I haven't read. What I kind of like to look at is, first, you have a resolution in the packet that we passed when we decided to go with an alternate route. And I think, and if you turn to In the long-range transportation plan, I was going to go over a few of those pages with you. And page 23 was Page 23 was the road counts, and I don't think, and just as we're discussing this, if you're interested in what a certain intersection or how busy it will be, that's in this report. But I don't think it has much to do with this road. We really won't know how many people or how many cars will use this road until whatever is built there is built. The next one is figure five, which is up by page 50. Page, right after page 30, there's a foldout. I guess yours would be in a 9x11. But that's kind of an overview of the area. And one thing I wanted to notice here was, if you can envision what this looked like 20 years ago, when the road was first proposed, it was in 2020, it was put in the STIP, State Transportation Improvement Program. It was put into the STIP in 2020. At the time, there wasn't any match required. And that provision is carried over into the current project. There is no match. Usually there's a 9% match, or you can add to it if you want. I started with the city in 2004. I really don't know what the hard numbers are, but at that time, you know, Larson was, I'm not even sure if Larson was there or not, but it certainly has grown. We got Kasaili out here. What's not showing on this map is that there's another new subdivision going in on the outside of Kasaili, outside of Larson, which is, I think, 70-odd parcels or homes. There's another subdivision going to be across from Larson. And, of course, the ONC was mentioned earlier tonight. I'm sure Tundra Ridge has grown in the 20 years that since this was first proposed, Weavick. So on both sides of Hanger Lake, I guess you could say, we've grown. There's going to be another subdivision in Tundra Ridge too. He's taken small steps toward that. So the first time that I ever heard about an alternate route, I was a city manager and I was going through some old file. The history is kind of murky. Anyways, in 2004, I found something in here in the archives that there was an alternate route being explored, and that kind of piqued my interest, and there wasn't much said about it. They were just going to go down to H. Merker Lake Road, and it didn't really didn't say anything beyond that what they were going to do. One thing interesting here to note is that that red line is the airport, it circles the airport, and that land was conveyed to the state of Alaska by the federal government for the purposes of an airport. And somehow we got a road on here, but I think it was to service the beacon down by H. Merker. But so fast forward to I sat on the Yukon-Kuskokwim Regional Transportation Board, and we scored, when we were done, Bethel had received three projects, one of which is the highway work that you see that was done in the last 2 years. One important thing I think to remember or to understand or see is that there was a public hearing. We had a public hearing at Lulu Heron Building. There was a public hearing at the AVC Building, the Lomac Building. You know, people came in, made their comments. And as usual, these, you know, you don't get a lot of people that come by, but you get those who are concerned. So with that, I think it's figure. We're going to move to figure, I think, 58, page 58, which should be figure 10. Right, so figure 10 shows when the resolution was passed what council had been presented with at the time. And you'll notice that There's a H Marker Lake Road, and there's two dotted lines. One goes around, and one heads straight into Ptarmigan Road. So, you know, up to this point, I think, like I said, I started in 2004. Every administration that I had worked with this port director had come up with this issue of trying to get a road through the Polk Sea Estate. And at the time of the long range transportation plan, we came and started discussing this. If you notice in the front that in the front of the book, you know, ONC, AVCP, BNC, the DOT were there, was there, was part of this plan. And they, you know, we presented it. There was a spirit of cooperation. We thought we were on the right track with this alternate route. In fact, in the I'm trying to find my stuff here. I had this laid out, but then I got a little distracted. And when we came out of the meetings, we were looking at the State Transportation Improvement Program for 2018-2021. And what was proposed at the time was about $9.3 million to construct one of these alternate routes. And the 9.3 actually went to Calitag. It would have been the other dotted line that goes around the lake. There's a native allotment too. So the big concern that, you know, I guess we started to have at these tactical meetings was the number of cars that would end up in the Tundra Ridge subdivision, and the one real crooked road there in between the two red lines, that's where all the traffic's going to go. And we're talking, we got the pit on one side up here by the airport. We're talking heavy-duty trucks. Like I said earlier, we don't know exactly how many cars will use this, but certainly you can envision Bethel Heights, Weavick, everybody in Tundra Ridge. I imagine down by the high school, somewhere in there, somebody's going to think it's shorter to go out through this road and to go the other way, or just have fun and drive. It might be the other thing, but I am worried about the heavy duty trucks trying to put all that through that Tundra Ridge subdivision. I think if we use went over the Pope Estates property and then dumped all that traffic into Tundra Ridge, that we would not be happy in the end. I don't know how the city would really face some challenges in trying to upkeep those roads in Tundra Ridge. Those roads are residential roads, 25 miles an hour. They're supposed to be. I'm sure you've all driven over them one time or the other you can envision what it's going to be like if you dump 3,000-4,000 cars a day through those neighborhoods. So that was the reason we came to council and tried to get a resolution passed saying that we would take an alternate route. What was disappointing, since I've been gone, I found out like Friday, like you always find out something, it seems like, is that the State Transportation Improvement Program has been amended. And they amended it to, instead of the 2018-21, they've amended it to 2020-23. And they basically, and they passed an amendment. They had a public hearing that started on September 21st, 2020, and ended on October 23, 2020. And far as I know, I've been here for this month, and I have not seen a letter or a public notice. And if you look at the back of the RLRT plan and you see all the work that we went through to ensure that whoever the public was on board with this, it was pretty extensive. We worked pretty hard at it. We didn't get a lot of participation, but we certainly broadcast the fact that we were developing a plan. There was actually an interactive map that we had on the city website. You could take your cursor, hover over any spot in town, click on it, a dialogue box would pop up, and you can make any comment you wanted. So here we have, I really disagree that, I mean, I tried to find out where this public notice, what they did. I haven't found that out yet. I've been looking for a few days. I imagine it was in the back of an Anchorage newspaper and back of some newspaper, but the fact is it's supposed to be public. And I think that a project of this magnitude, deserves some scrutiny to some say in it. And to just, it seems like, but the other thing that kind of bothers me on this is that this summer, you know, as I was driving around town, I saw, they were out, the DOT or surveyors are out there at the Pokey Estate coming up with surveys, and they were kicking around, and I kind of knew that something was going on. When I got hired here, I asked the city planner if he knew anything, and there had definitely been some back and forth with the DOT and the planning department a little bit, and the BIA and the planning department. And so there's things going on before they announced this public comment period. And to me, the first thing in any project, you usually secure the land before you move on. And so, I mean, they didn't do that. They just seemed to decide they were going to go barrel through the Polk Estate. And without, as far as I'm concerned, and it's my own opinion, but they did not notify the public. I mean, I certainly would have thought that somebody would pick up, could at least phone me. They could have done something more than what they did. And so that kind of bothers me. Now, I don't know what we can do about it. I know I know projects in Anchorage have been stopped. One was the College Gate Road that was going to go from Muldoon to the Medical Center, Providence Medical Center, and that complex there. There was a $43 million project. The council, the neighborhood council, got up in arms and they said no and went to the assembly and the mayor in Anchorage, and the project got nilled. So I don't know. Maybe we can stop this project. I'm not sure if we can get the money back in the STIP, but I'd be very concerned about putting 3,000 or 4,000 vehicles, that's what I'm going to estimate, will use this road every day through Tundra Ridge. I just don't think it's prudent, and especially when we do have another way identified. And so I guess those are my comments on that. I just think it's just, you know, when we went into the long-range transportation plan with the DOT, I thought the people working with us were honest. They seemed enthusiastic. I think they probably still are. I don't know where this decision came from. You know, kind of came out of the blue. You know, we just kind of all of a sudden saw people working around out there by the Polk Estate, and nobody was really saying anything. We got more out of the BIA than we did really the DOT. And, of course, I wasn't here during the summer, so, I don't know. I asked the IT department to look and see what the former city manager and the DOT had in way of emails, or in fact there were any, but we didn't come up with any today. So I really don't, I mean, I would be very concerned if this project were to continue. I don't understand why they have to even bother the folks. And I think in the end, if this does happen, like I keep saying, we're going to be disappointed in the end with the end result. So those are my comments.
Interim Manager Williams, now might be a good time to ask you any specific questions about this project, and I suspect council members probably do have some questions for you. I think maybe in the interest of some of the technology issues that we're experiencing, I might just kind of go around the circle once and ask for comments and then see if anyone has any questions, after everyone's had a chance to ask. So I'm going to start with Vice Mayor Hansen. Vice Mayor Hansen, do you have any questions for Pete, for Interim Manager Williams, rather, on this topic?
Not at this time. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Barr, do you have any questions for Interim Manager Williams on this topic?
Just a couple. Thank you, Mayor. Hey, Pete, the whole transportation plan, I was reading through it. When was that published?
I just received this. So it sat stagnant on the previous and acting in city manager's desk. And when I got hired, I asked, it was almost done, but I provided a draft to the Public Transportation Safety Committee this summer, but through some hijinks, I wasn't allowed to speak to it, just a little bit, but not much.
Thanks, Pete. And then have we talked to the State of Alaska DOT about the cost differences between the two plans? One, the $2 million plan, and I believe the other was like $5 million to go around the lake instead of through the Polk's property.
Right. So that's, like I said, when we came out of the long-range transportation plan, came out of those meetings, and we came up with the 9.3, this is federal highway dollars. This is pass-through money from the federal government. It's really no skin off the state coffers. And, there's 262 projects in this 2023 state transportation improvement program. And there's not to say to us that they can't find the extra $5 million that it might take. It's not a matter of cost in the way that we're trying to, there's hundreds of millions of dollars in this transportation plan, and I'm sure you can find $5 million more. Right now, this proposal is $3 million or so for the Pokie estate. But that's not counting court costs. They're going to end up in court, wait another year and a half. So I think the money's available if they will. I think anything is a way to secure the funds for this program.
And just so everybody knows, the report is available online on our City of Bethel website. Thanks, Pete.
Yeah. Okay, moving around the group. Councilmember Springer, do you have any questions?
No, I appreciate review there, Pete.
Okay, anything else, Councilmember Springer?
No, that's it.
Okay. Council Member Leary.
No, thank you. I don't have any questions at this time.
Councilmember McCormick.
No questions at this time. Thank you very much, Pete.
And Councilmember Henderson.
I have nothing. Thank you.
Okay, and I don't have any questions either, Manager Williams. Thank you for that assessment. It was probably very helpful to, it was helpful to me, and I'm sure it was helpful to others attending or listening. Do you have other items for your report this evening, Manager Williams?
No, I don't. Just other than what's in the report, if somebody's got some questions on the list, what I've done in the last 2 weeks.
Perfect. Let's go ahead and open it up to any other questions council members might have for Interim Manager Williams. Does anyone have any questions?
Mayor DeWitt, it's great.
Yeah, Council Member Barr.
Thank you. I would just like to point out in Pete's report that for members of the listening public, Pete is going to be doing interviews for the finance director position next week. I saw that, Pete. Thank you for that. Thanks for moving forward with it. And I just had a question as to how our police department is doing. I know that we had a somewhat of a long discussion about how we lost a number of officers within a short period of time.
Well, he's I think he's doing pretty good. He's moving. We lost one to the state troopers, and congratulations for that gentleman being able to obtain that job. But we are filling the positions, and I think in the next manager's report, you'll be pleased. I didn't include it in my remarks. I forgot to print it out, but he did write a rather lengthy comment to me in an email, and I can pass that around. But I think things are looking up. But, you know, with him being 5 months here, it's just going to be a little bit of trial and error as we move along here and give him a chance to do his job.
Okay, any additional questions for Interim Manager Williams? Hearing no more questions, thank you, Interim Manager Williams, for that report. And that moves us on to item 11.3, our City Clerk's report. Clerk Strickler.
Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. We've wrapped up the project of modifying the code provisions that are specific to his and hers, and have completed the generalization of his, hers in the code. And thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen, for bringing that to our attention. We've also started publishing our at a glance in the Delta Discovery to help reach more community members. That is something that we've been posting on the Facebook page. And it is ultimately a summary of the legislation that has been passed by the council and a quick explanation of what the intent of the action is. So that is now being published monthly in the Delta Discovery. And again, in an effort to meet more people in our community to keep them informed of municipal government. Aside from that, just general operations, we're getting ready to close the end of the year with our records program, reviewing our records retention schedule, getting ready to modify the records program for 2021, and doing our audits on current municipal records. That's it.
All right. Are there any questions for City Clerk Strickler? I'm not hearing any questions, but Clerk Strickler, would you be willing to talk about how the public can reach you if anyone's interested in serving on a committee or a commission?
Absolutely. So all of the committee and commission information is on the city's website. You could also email cityclerk@cityofbethel.net if you have questions specifically to a committee or commission. We do have an online application that's available under the city's services site of the city's website. Really easy application process, but I'm also available by phone, 545-4512, if somebody has specific questions that they're not finding answers to online.
Great. Thank you, Clerk Strickler. That brings us to item 12 on the agenda, which is council member comments. I have no additional comments this evening, other than to remind people to please stay safe, stay healthy, stay home as much as possible, practicing all of the things that we've been told over and over to do to combat COVID. Wear your mask, keep your distance, wash your hands, et cetera. So please, I really ask the public to take this seriously and follow those, follow the recommendations that YKHC has been providing to us. Vice Mayor Hansen.
Hi, I don't really have anything to add tonight other than going off of what you just said, Mayor DeWitt, I did just see from Zoom that they are removing the 40-minute time limit on Thanksgiving in the hopes that people will use it to connect with their loved ones on the holiday. So if you want to, if you have the capability to use Zoom, you won't be kicked out after 40 minutes. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen.
And happy Thanksgiving. I'm sorry. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Vice Mayor. Yes, happy Thanksgiving in our own homes, not leaving them. Okay, Councilmember Barr.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I hope you guys have a very safe holiday weekend. One of the things that I wanted to I missed out on commenting to Ms. Strickler, our city clerk, but I had received requests from people that they would like to attend our city council meetings telephonically. Not everybody has internet at home. Not everybody knows how to use Zoom, and that if we can have a telephone number available to other members of the public that are maybe less technically advantaged. Other than that, it's starting to freeze out there and then melt and then freeze. We still have very thin ice all over up and down our river. And just as a reminder, be careful. It's not safe out there on the river. And wear reflective gear. Thanks.
Thank you, Councilmember Barr. And before we move on to Councilmember Leary, I will just mention, even though we think of Zoom as a web-based platform, there is a dial-in number associated with it that you can dial in from your phone with the meeting ID and passcode. So Zoom offers both platforms, the dial-in and the Wi-Fi video web-based. So that is available. Please let people know that. Councilmember Leary. Councilmember Leary may be experiencing the dial-in version of Zoom right now. We're going to give her just another second here. I actually don't see her number on the list now. We're going to move on to Councilmember Springer, and we'll reconnect with Councilmember Leary if she rejoins us. Councilmember Springer.
Good evening, everybody. Just echoing everything that everybody else has said. You know, it's really a bummer that if we are diligent, we won't be getting together with our families for Thanksgiving. You know, my daughter, my son-in-law, my grandkids live across town. We usually have Thanksgiving together. We're not going to do that this year. And it's a big sacrifice. We're, you know, we have to make a lot of sacrifices so that people don't make even bigger sacrifices the way things are right now. So please, let's keep that in mind, but let's be thankful for the fact that, you know, we're here in Bethel. We live in a beautiful part of Alaska, a beautiful part of the world. We have friends and family all over, you know, relatively nearby. So we can certainly be thankful about that. And yeah, stay the heck off the river. Pay attention to what BSAR and the people that are surveying have to say about it. And I guess I'll just leave it at that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Springer. Councilmember Henderson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just want to thank the council for being so patient with me and all my questions. I'm still really new at this, and so I will be asking a bunch of questions. And thanks to Lori for constantly having to reply to my emails asking questions on what I need to do and what I shouldn't do, and so on and so forth. I do want to add to people, I want to make a plea to people. You know, my husband and I have made a bunch of sacrifices as well, as just like everybody else. And they are ones that we have to live with. And just like Council Member Springer, we are unable to spend Thanksgiving with our family this year. Our daughter is going to deliver us plates of food. I'm not even going to cook here in the house. I'm so depressed over all that. But if everybody would think about how terrible they're feeling right now, not being able to spend Christmas with their, Thanksgiving with their family, and start adhering to everything that YKHC is asking and the city is asking you to do, maybe we could get to a point by Christmas to where we could spend with, you know, a few family members. But at the rate we're going, we're not going to be able to spend Christmas, New Year's with our family. And I don't want to live through that. I know a lot of people out there don't want to live through that. So please, everybody, just let's work together and get rid of this doggone COVID in our little town and our Delta, and be able to be with our families again. I do want to thank the people that have been calling me with their comments about the excise tax. I did have a gentleman made me smile. He just complimented me left and right and was so pleased that I actually answered my phone and said that he's got my vote. I have his vote for the rest of my life, he said. So thank you to that gentleman. And I don't mind talking to people about the excise tax. If you want to call me, feel free to call me. I do take email. I have been getting emails as well. So please keep the connection, you know, with yourself and your council members. That's what we're here for. We're here representing you. And I really want to hear from everybody. And lastly, happy holidays, everybody. I know it's going to be a tough Thanksgiving, but we can get through this. We will survive, and we will be on our merry way. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councilmember Henderson. And that brings us to Councilmember McCormick.
Thank you very much, Mayor DeWitt. I just want to repeat a lot of what everyone else has said about the importance of adhering to guidelines set forth by YKHC and the CDC. We've hit 1994 cases in the YK Delta. And I think it goes without saying that as citizens of Bethel, we owe a responsibility to these communities. It's not coming in from anywhere else. I mean, it might, but it's very unlikely that it's coming in from anywhere else than Bethel. So I just ask that everybody continue to adhere to that. If you experience any of the symptoms, please do not feel afraid to get yourself tested. You know, it's really important to know what your status is, to know whether or not you have it. So YKHC does testing 2 to 5 Monday through Friday. That information to get an appointment, you can find that online at ykhc.org/COVID. You know, people have spoken a lot about sacrifices that are being made throughout this time during the holiday season. And I just want to thank everyone, both in Bethel and anyone else who's listening to this further on, for making the sacrifices to keep us all safe. You know, right now it might seem like a nuisance, but I can guarantee you it'll be a great privilege to leave this time with a lot of our elders and most vulnerable. So I just want to thank everybody for the sacrifices they've made throughout this pandemic. And just the last thing that I wanted to say that is of the utmost importance. When you go in for the obligatory third helping of Thanksgiving, make sure you save room for dessert. And everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thank you, Council Member McCormick. And I received word that Council Member Leary is listening to the meeting, but can't join us at this point for closing comments. She's had trouble with connectivity. That brings us to item 13, executive session. We do not have an executive session on this agenda. And item 14, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Council Member Henderson. All those in favor of adjournment, please vote by saying aye.
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 Aye. Good night.
Opposition, please say nay. Thank you, everybody. The meeting is closed at 8:14 p.m. Have a great night and have a great holiday.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.